I think it's just this: you do what feels good to you. You do you. No one can tell you niche down or be this or be that. Just be freaking yourself, you know? And I think, like, why wouldn't the business coach write poetry? Who said that that's not okay? You
You
know?
know who said it? Society said it. They're like, you can only be one thing. I disagree. And especially, I think women tend to be more in flow. We're able to be like moms and work and do a lot of stuff. We like to have a lot of different hats that we wear. And I want to say to you once told me that those poems came through you, just like this book just came through me. I didn't write it. It literally popped down through me in 10 minutes. You told me that your poetry came through you. I want to say to you, who are you not to release that? The universe gave it to you because you're supposed to give it to the world. That's all.
Now you're channeling Marianne Williamson.
Oh, I am. I even know.
The Fearless and Successful podcast is hosted by your hype girl D, and it's designed for change makers just like you. As an activator of human potential and freedom architect, I have one mission with this podcast: to show you that you can be, do, and have anything you desire. I love all things money, mindset, and manifestation. I am so excited to share my personal hacks to help you activate your infinite potential. And I also will be sharing fearless stories from leaders around the world who designed life and business on their own terms. Remember, if we can do it, so can you. Fearless soul, if you're ready to dream big and make impact, let's get this party started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, my fearless people. I'm so excited, you guys, and I know that you feel it because I have been waiting for this moment from the moment I met this lady. Like, and it's been now, our journey goes back probably like four years for sure. But 2 years ago, I had an honor not just to meet her in person, but also interviewed me for Mind Valley Heroes, and she is one of the most incredible, most heart-centered people that I met in the Mind Valley community. And I think that everyone who is listening to that and knows who she is just like clapping right now. Meet Miss Carrie Fisher.
Hello. That was so sweet. I'm a little embarrassed right here, but I love that you called me heart-centered. That really means a lot to me because that is actually the thing I care about the most. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and I think like I definitely want to go that and a little bit like be a bit vulnerable and be a bit, authentic around this topic. But before we dive deep, like I really want to know, like you are an author, you have your publishing house or whatever agency, and you work with all these incredible authors. You are mom of five, you're a yogi, you're an incredible connector, a Mind Valley facilitator. There's so many titles to you, but I really, really want to ask you, who is truly, like in heart, Carrie Fisher?
I love that. Thank you so much. And thank you for talking about all my different aspects. Everybody's always trying to get me to niche it down. And I'm like, I can't. I prefer to be a Renaissance woman. And just like you, Dee, I love to dabble in a lot of different areas. So honestly, I realized over the last few months who I really am. And it really is because of this journey of becoming an author and then a publisher that made me realize who I really am. Who I really am. The reason I'm here on this earth is to, ooh, I got the chills, is to share my story and to help other people share their stories. And Dee, I just wanted to point out that it's not just me sharing my high points, it's also me sharing my dark moments of the soul. And that's what I encourage other people to do because I feel like it makes us more vulnerable, it makes us more accessible, and it also can help someone out there who needs to hear our message. And also, let's be authentic and real. That's all I really care about. So I'm here to share my story and help you share yours.
That's so beautiful. And I just want to say, because we've been through a journey, or you and I, we did so many great things together and so much more to experience together. But I always felt like this, before we actually went deep and really connected and we really had these hard conversations, you and me, I always felt like she's flawless. Like she's so perfect. Like it almost felt like, how do I say this? It felt so like I have this perfect image of Carrie, but when what you said, when I got to meet you, like, and when I got to know more about you, it wasn't that like, yeah, we put like all these people on pedestal, but you felt so human to me. Yeah, still like she's so cool, but also, wow, she's such a heart, like I said, heart-centered human. She really, really care for people. And for me, like, yeah, you can see like a lot of these like people that we admire, we aspire to be, they're all this like picture perfect. But when you get to meet them, you actually connect heart to heart. And for me, that was like our moment. Oh, she's so real. And what you said about these dark moments, let's go there. Like, what would you say? Like, I know a lot of people, and I interviewed in 2023. There was a lot of like, also on this podcast, we shared moments of darkness, and I feel like we're going towards the light now as a collective. What would you say was your shadow in 2023 that you needed to overcome, or you really acknowledged and you create awareness around?
The shadow that I definitely had to acknowledge and accept was that I am flawed. I'm a perfectionist. I like everything to be perfect, and I'm very hard on myself. People wouldn't really realize that, but I really am very hard on myself. And because of that, I'm also hard on the people around me. And what I had to accept about myself, Dee, is something that you and I have talked about. Within my marriage, we have so many amazing things, but we've also had a very chaotic, 3 decades together, which has in many ways damaged our kids. So I had to admit that to myself, which I'm even going to get a little teary right now because, that was the most important thing to me. I have had a lot of successes in my life, but my 5 kids and being a mom and being a wife, believe it or not, that was the most important thing to me. When I had to realize, like, you know what? It's not just my husband who's like the asshole. It's not my kids who are difficult. Like, I have issues too. It was really hard for me because that was the area I had tried the most in. And when you try as hard as you can, I read every kid's book, I read every teen book, I read every book about parenting. And for me to have accepted that I had failed in a lot of areas for that was really hard for me. So that was my big dark shadow. I'm still wrestling with it today.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, and I think, we live in this world where you want to, I think we are kind of getting creating awareness around perfectionism. But it's hard when you really see that you are also hard on people that you surround yourself with, I think because you love people, other people, and you have this demand. And then when you realize, oh, I've been a bitch, I know that was for me. Like I was trying to, I have been controlling to my, like toward my kids, especially my oldest one. But once I let go of that control, it feels like she's 16 right now, and we're just like, we have the best time ever. I'm learning from her, and she's just like, I have to say this, like we had this meltdown over the weekend. She broke up with, oh, she will kill me. She was breaking up. I said, this year for me is like, I'm riding solo. Like I'm not gonna be, committing to anything. I'm just gonna be single mama. Like this is like my era where I commit to my projects and I just live my dream. I don't want anyone to like kind of anchor me down, And she had this like, okay, so she was breaking up with her boyfriend, and it was so hard. Like for me, that was just, ooh, how can I support her? And then this, you can't actually be taking over their pain. You have to just let them be and go through that, And that was something that for me as a controller, and I have to help my kids not to be in pain. That was so hard just to be and just to let her go through this, And then at the end, she said, you know what? we're just gonna ride solo, me and you. It was so amazing. You know, we have so much fun. And I think it's so beautiful and it's so freeing when you don't have that.
Definitely. And I love what that you said that because I have five kids. So my older two, now I didn't even realize I was controlling, you know, because my kids don't have a curfew in so many ways. I'm a very easy mom. You know what I mean? Just like do whatever you want. But in terms of their school, I really care about education. So I was really strict with them about that. You know, they come home with a 92. I'm like, you know, like, where's the other 8 points? I was one of those kind of moms and I didn't even realize it. And it was painful to realize it. But now with my younger three, what I'm noticing is there's much more open communication. And it's exactly true. I'm noticing when one of my kids is struggling, all I want to do is fix it. But what they want is just for me to be there and listen. And that's a really hard thing for someone like me. Because I'm like, let's just do this. We'll do this. We'll do this. We'll fix it all. It'll be all perfect. That's not what they want. What kids want is for us to be there for them and love them and support them and listen. And also to understand what you said, I'm really here to shape and mold my children. I can't possibly shape and mold my children. They're growing up in a completely different world than I grew up in. I could never understand living as a, you know, teenager or a person in their young 20s in the 2020s. I can't. I'm never going to understand that. But being there as their supporter and their cheerleader and realizing we're supposed to, as parents, learn from our children and just be their cheerleader. So that's what I'm trying to do. And notice I said trying because I'm not always succeeding. The control freak still comes out sometimes, but luckily my younger children are just like, you know, mom, you're doing it again. You know, and it's hard. I'm not going to say I'm like, oh, I'm so happy my kid's telling me I'm a jerk right now, but at least I'm open to it a little bit. And even sometimes they'll say something to me like, that's not true. But at least at night, I'll think about it. And then the next day, when I kind of get some space, I could admit it. It's okay to admit that we screw things up. That's what I want to say to all parents. It's okay.
Oh, so good. It's okay. Definitely. Tell me, how does Carrie play?
How do I play? Oh my gosh. I love to do yoga. I love to do Pilates. Luckily, I'm in the wellness world. So all my friends either own studios or they're teachers. So I get to do a lot of that stuff. And I, a few years ago during the pandemic, created this paddleboard yoga program. So I love to paddleboard. I love to paddleboard and do yoga. I love to hike. I love to bike. I love to ski. We're going skiing in a few weeks on a family trip to Park City. So I'm really, really active in that way. That's my fun.
Oh my God, like I can't even like, you know, like I'm listening to you and I'm like, gosh, you know, I'm not going to say how young you are, but it's like, oh my
God. No, you can say I'm 56. I'm proud of it. I don't care.
Oh my God.
I can't believe it either.
But it's like, oh my freaking God, you guys, you know, like when you meet her in person, you're like, she's 25. It really looks, because you're so, I think it's not even like about the looks, but it's just the energy and vitality that you exude. Like it's so freaking good. And I can definitely like imagine that yoga gives you so much of that.
Oh, totally. You know, she's now passed away, but one of my mentors was Tao Porshan Lynch, and she was a 101-year-old yoga teacher. And when I met her, she was so inspiring. Dee, in her 90s, she started doing dance and she was on Dancing with the Stars and she was just so amazing. And the first time I met her, I showed up at yoga. I always dress up like, you know, yogi. I'm all flowing when I go to yoga. I dress the part wherever I go. Mm-hmm. And she walked right up to me and she goes, keep doing that. She's like, keep shining. And she was shining. And even when she was 101, she exuded that aura too. She seemed so youthful. When you looked at her up close, she did. She had wrinkles. She had never gotten any plastic surgery. But for some reason, when you saw her, you didn't see any of that. You just saw this beautiful spirit, because we're all spirit souls. Yeah. So thank you. That really means a lot to me.
So that's what I mean. Like, it's not even like, it's just this. Yeah, it's aura.
It's aura,
energy around you that is just so vital and so vibrant, and it's
and immature. So that's why I look younger.
Also, like when we are, and this is one of the things that I really wanted to talk to you, because I think that you do it so gracefully, and we talked about this. How do you actually, because you're probably surrounded by people, and we are Cancers and we are very empathetic and we love to take on everything on us. How do you protect your energy?
Okay, I've never protected my energy, and this is a huge mistake. And I have know a thousand ways to protect my energy. I'm in the wellness world for over 10 years. But what I do, I would like to protect my energy. Before I leave my house, I should be like putting myself in a protective aura, throwing salt. I should be doing that whole routine, shaking the tambourine, the whole thing. But I don't do that because I'm very ADD and I forget to do it. What I do is every single night, from my whole entire life, I take a bath for like an hour. Even when my kids were really little, it would be at 2 a.m., but I would take a bath. And I love it in there. I don't know what it is about a bathroom, but maybe it's the tile, but it just feels like the water lets me release everything. And I never realized I was doing that, why I took the bath every night. I just thought I liked it, but it was because I needed to cleanse my energy. And, I didn't even know that I was so intuitive and empath. I kind of knew, but I didn't really believe in that stuff because I'm a skeptic. But I've started to understand how much I suck up people's energy. So it's really important. I really should protect myself. But the thing with protecting yourself also, though, is then it's hard for you to go out. Do you know what I mean? So when I put myself in a protective aura, who I really am doesn't go out. So I allow myself to be open. And sometimes that could be painful. People can hurt me when I'm out and about. But then I have my bathtub at the end of the day to swish it all away.
That's so funny because we are both crabs and I love water as well. And that's so funny that that's my ritual as well. I enjoy it so much. Like water gives me, and recently I met someone and this guy said, I love when a lady takes care of herself by just listening to her primal connection with the water. And I'm like what? And he said, you know what? Women are they are in true flow when they're in the water. And I was like, I didn't even thought about it. It gives me that surrender and a truly like a feminine essence because you work and you're like you put your masculine energy on and it's like but then when I'm really like in the bath, I think like water just surrounding me, I'm the most feminine and it feels so good. It's such a beautiful energy.
It really is. And my husband's always like, are you ever coming out? I'm like, nope, not. I have 8 more hours in here and then I'm going to be fine.
That's the work. It's the work. We're doing
I meditate in
the
there too. No, but I do a lot of stuff in there. I meditate. I have a million ideas come to me. I do a lot. It just
Oh
doesn't
my
seem like
God.
I
You know
am.
what? I wish I think I have so many ideas, and I know the tricks and hacks, write it down or have a journal. I never do that. But now I just someday I'm gonna have a voice note with me and I'm just gonna in
In the bathtub. Yeah, but then you're going to
the
end
bathtub.
up scrolling. So you can't. But you know what I read recently? I always used to say to people, if you have a good idea, write it down. And I do believe that. However, I just read from, I think it might have been James Patterson. I forgot who it is, one of the really big authors. And he said that if you have a really great idea, you don't necessarily have to write it down because if it's truly a great idea, it's going to stay in your head. So I'm like, oh, okay. When I'm in the bath, the best ideas will stay. I don't have to sit there writing. I've tried to bring my phone in there so I can make notes when I have great ideas. But then, like, next thing I know, I'm like scrolling celebrity gossip. So that's not like the best kind of bath. So I can't bring it in.
Especially for ADD or ADHD people, is like that's dangerous. But what I know and what I've been practicing throughout all, because we have a lot of ideas, especially entrepreneurs, and this is a hack, you guys. I love to have, oh my God, now I'm gonna, I love to have journals around my place. And now I have six different. Just, this year I started with six journals, you guys. This is the best thing. And I this is my dream parking lot. I call it
Ooh.
my dream parking lot, and I just oh, then the idea comes, and I write it down. And I would go every Sunday and revisit the idea. And if it's still oh, it's still juicy, it's still because you don't have the capacity to execute every idea that you download. But I would revisit it every Sunday and go, okay, is this still resonating? No, just. And then what I do from that page, I flip it over to the next page, everything that it's left. Okay, this is still worth pursuing. This is still alive. And I really play with it. And then at the end of the year, it's really, really cool. Or at the end of the journal, I go and how many ideas I actually executed. It's not about how many goals I actually achieved, but how many ideas that I pursued that were really like intuitively calling me.
That is so smart. And like, you
Super.
and I are always so aligned lately. It's so weird because yesterday I was thinking, I always have 10 million ideas, like actually, like every single day. And I write them all down. And for years, I would just keep all my ideas to myself, like, these are my ideas. I'm going to execute all this. And then one day I woke up like 10 years ago, I'm like, I want to live 5,000 lifetimes to execute all these ideas. So I
Right.
love what you're doing. But what I've started doing is, I give the ideas that I have that I know I'm never going to execute to the people that I know who would probably be great at executing that. Sometimes they take them, sometimes they don't. But I started to realize that I'm a person who gets a lot of ideas because some of them are supposed to be for me, but a lot of them are for other people. And now I generously give. So it's
I
a
love
really nice.
that.
I'm going to start doing what you do too. So
I
that's
love
really
that. I always like I think that that's so important, and people like you and me, we have like such a big networks, and for me it's also like asking myself, you know, because you can't do it alone. Yeah, and I don't even want to do it alone. I always ask myself if I get the guidance or I just connect, oh, okay, so now it's like, okay, I'm gonna do this poetry book. Who are the resource? What are the resources? Who are the people that can help me get birth this idea? And I would just jot down names. And then it's like, you know what freaking amazes me every single time? And I've been in this law attraction and manifestation for so long, like more than a decade. It still amazes me when I write it down. And I say this all the time to everyone that is in my circle, in my communities, what you write, you invite. And I write it down, and I do not kid you. Sometimes I will open my Instagram and that person will show up in my feed. The first thing. It's
Yep.
crazy. It's like, okay,
Totally
thank
true.
you. Thank you.
It's so true. You know, for years, one of the things, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this in case anyone who lives on Long Island hears me, but I don't care. So, for years, I wanted to create like an amazing yoga teacher training. I was lucky. I took a great one for my original yoga teacher training 10 years ago, but there really aren't any good ones anymore in Long Island. So, I've been wanting to create one, but I was just like, you know, I don't want to do that alone. There's definitely no way I'm doing that alone. It's a huge thing. You know, I don't have a studio. You know, I don't own a yoga studio. So, I waited, and it's been a couple of years since I had this idea. I did write the teacher training, though. I wrote most of it. But recently, I became very close. I became part of this yoga community and I became very close with the owner. I love her. Then all of a sudden, one day, she said, you know, I really want to create a yoga teacher training for the studio. I'm like, let's do this. And I'm all about collaboration now because, especially women, I want to give this message to women, we've been taught by society that we need to be in competition with each other. And the reason we need to is because for most of time, there was no space for women at the table. But then even when the door opened, there would be maybe one space out of 10 at every table for women. So we had to fight for that spot. But you know what? I love what Reese Witherspoon said. She said, I used to want to bring my friends along to get them in the door to sit at that table with me. But then I realized, you know what? There's only one slot for women at that man's table. I want to make my own table so I can bring all the women I want. And women, the moment I started collaborating with people, that's when the door opened and a lot of stuff started happening. And that's when I started living my real dream life. And I think it's probably true for you too, right, Dee?
Oh, this is so powerful. This is so good. I'm just getting goosebumps. Like, this is so powerful. Yeah, we don't have to wait to be invited to other people's tables. We got to create our own tables. I just love that because, yeah, we just need to stop playing small and thinking like, yeah, we need to be invited or we need to be. No, freaking, we got to decide, we got to create, we got to choose with people who we want to collaborate. And that's the power of community and that's the power of sisterhood, of collaboration. And I
Yep.
love that. I love what you said.
Thank you. I love it
So,
too.
so powerful. So powerful. Yeah. And I think like 2024 is such a powerful year as well because it has two, and two is like collaboration, and four is family, and it's like all about this sisterhood and collaborative spirit. And I think like so many doors is going to be open. Like, I feel it.
I know. And in our community, we have all started, like, a bunch of us have started collaborating. And the ones of us who have collaborated, we're all the ones who are doing the things we want to do now. So it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. When you just stop being so worried about protecting your own little piece of turf and open up, the world mm-hmm. opens up. It's so beautiful.
We live in such an abundance, right? So it's like really, really important to understand that, right? There's always enough to go around.
There is. I love that. There's always, mm-hmm. there's more than enough. Exactly.
Yeah, more than enough. Yeah. Oh, talking ideas. What is exciting for you right now?
Well, for me right now, this year, 2024, is all about building my publishing company, Be Extraordinary Publishing. Mm-hmm. And I have some amazing people I'm working with. Hint, hint. Dee, do you have anything you want to say right now?
I'm so excited, you guys. And I don't know even like if I'm going to pinch myself or, you know, but guys, this is not about, you know, yeah, this is when this podcast goes out, it's going to be probably less than a month. I just set the date, less than a month of my first book coming out.
And it's and like, I've been after her for like,
and Carrie's like,
was it 2 years?
Carrie's kicking my butt.
Every month,
you know?
I'm like, Dee, where is that book? And she's like, I have it. I'm like, send it. No, she doesn't send it. Dee, where's the book? Nothing.
No, but it was, you know, it's totally been like that. And it was like, no, it doesn't, it has to. We have, and this is what one of my dear client, Anna, told me this yesterday. It's an expression in Swedish. If it's easy, then it's right. It doesn't rhyme in English, but it does rhyme in Swedish. Om det är lätt, då är det rätt. And it's rhyming. And then if it's easy, it's right. And now it feels so easy for me, like publishing this book, this particular thing, it feels so easy and so aligned. It's like, I don't want to hustle. I don't want to think about promotion. I don't want to, I just want this baby to go out and to inspire, like, you know, people. And I think that's the beautiful part when you get this, you know, inspiration, it gets to be fast and easy and just like, let's go.
It gets to be so easy. And like, you and I are so similar. We're like type A, we can push, we can make shit happen. But when I just gave that up, when I was just like, I surrender, please universe, please God, whatever it is that you, you know, pray to, please universe, bring me where I'm meant to be. Mm-hmm. Show me the way. I am here to serve. Where am I supposed to be? When I just let go, all of a sudden everything started to flow. It's really amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you know what? I think what you mentioned before, like, because when you said like everyone is trying to niche me down. When I was writing my first book, and it was my memoir, it was basically my stories. All of my clients asked me, so this is like a business blueprint or something. And I'm like, no, it's a story about my life and finding my purpose as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as a global citizen. And at that point, it felt good. I was just going through my own journey. That was my healing process. And with this book of poems, it's the same thing. It's the same. It was just like, you know, you met Adam Roa. He has been such a creative kick for me. And he has been such a dear mentor of mine for so long. And since Tallinn last year, I have been just writing and writing and writing because it felt so intuitive and it felt so easy. And it felt, this is my own journey. And one of very, very dear people to me said to me, like, you know, why are you writing this if this is not going to see the light? And I was like, yeah. And he said, you know, if this is just for you, isn't that like everything against what you're about? You're just preaching, you know, you have to inspire people, but then you're like hiding. And I was like, fuck, like, that's so true. Like, I'm hiding my gifts. Something that can be a medicine to the world. And I was like, wow, he totally called me out. And that was the moment that I realized this has to be published, but it has to be in my own timeline.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And you know, I told you, so I had a I've been writing my whole life, and I only published my first book a year and a half ago. And the reason I was able to publish it is I decided that like done was better than perfect, because I could have sat there for the rest of my life editing that thing, I'll be honest with you. And then that opened the door for me. Now I'm doing these co-author books where people write a chapter for us. And then I was going through my computer and I found this children's story I had written almost 2 decades ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I could totally do this now. I know how to publish books. As it turned out, children's books are totally different. So I really didn't know how to do it, but I started the process and I'm like, I might as well finish it. And I just received their copy. And this is a book that I'm so excited about because it's about my children. You know, it's about when we moved into this house. And you know, this would have stayed on my computer forever. And so it took 20 years. That's okay. We're all on our same timeline. And what I've learned from working with a lot of authors now mm-hmm. is people get very vulnerable. It will be like a huge influencer I'm working with. And they're like, I'm like, where's the book? You said you would send it to me. Where's that rough draft? They won't send it. They won't send it. When they finally send it, they like wait a day or two and they're like, is it okay? And they're like, I feel so bad about the book. I know it's not, and they're making all these apologies. And meanwhile, I'm reading the book crying. Like, this is the best stuff I've ever read, you know? So it's a very vulnerable process, especially when you're ready to tell the truth about yourself, because you do know there are going to be people who come out and say negative things. And, you know, I want to say to everybody, if you're stopping yourself because of the people who might say negative things about you, I just want you to say those people are sitting on their couch with their phone, just like writing nasty stuff to people. They're not doing anything. They're not building anything. They're not writing anything. You're not. And also, those aren't the people who need to hear your message, but there is one person at least out there that does need to hear your message. So just write for them, you guys. That's it.
Yeah.
So, remember who you're writing for.
Yeah. So, so good. And yeah. And I think like for me, like now when I'm going like, this is so not my route, like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm writing poetry. Like, who do I think I am? You know, but poetry has been, we did a bunch of healing, so many different modalities and methodologies and all the stuff. But I think poetry, like writing poems, has been the best healing process for me. And I think it's just this, you do what feels good to you. You do you. No one can tell you niche down or be this or be that. Just be freaking yourself, you know? And I think like, why wouldn't the business coach write poetry? Who said that that's not okay?
You know who said it? Society said it. They're like, you can only be one thing. I disagree. And especially, I think women tend to be more in flow. We're able to be like moms and work and do a lot of stuff. We like to have a lot of different hats that we wear. And I want to say to you, you know, you once told me that those poems came through you, just like this book just came through me. I didn't write it. It literally popped down through me in 10 minutes. You told me that your poetry came through you. I want to say to you, who are you not to release that? The universe gave it to you because you're supposed to give it to the world. That's all.
Now you're channeling Marianne Williamson.
Oh, I am. I even know.
So, so cool. Yeah, no, it definitely, it was such a easy process. And, you know, and I think creative process when you're in flow, it gets to be easy. It doesn't need to be, you know. And
it gets,
you know,
to be easy, but do you know the universe is whispering at all times, right? Mm-hmm. It's whispering within all of us. We all get these little thoughts and ideas. And when you get it, you have to either act on it, or that idea goes to the next person, and then the next person will act on it. I remember Marissa Peer told a story. I love Marissa Peer. She told a story once about how when she published her first book, someone reached out to her and said, you know, that was my idea. I had that idea. Meanwhile, she had never met the lady. The lady never reached out to her and told her the idea, but the lady just at her house had the same idea. And Marissa Beer was sitting there like, yeah, you had the idea. A lot of people had the idea. We all have the same ideas a lot of times. She executed it, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone gets ideas. Mm-hmm. The difference between someone who is going to make a difference in the world and someone who's just going to sit on their couch writing, you know, hate mail to people is the people who want to inspire, execute. You have to execute. If you hear a little whispering, don't even tell anyone. Keep it to yourself like a little secret and start working on it as a little passion project. And you could reach out to D and I. We'll kick your ass.
So amazing. So, so incredible. Definitely, you guys, because I feel like, no, I'm not in regret that I, you know, your first invitation or second invitation, I don't feel that I have this fear of missing out from you publishing my chapter. I don't, because I just want to honor all of the amazing people that did that. You have some most incredible people that you published. But I feel that it was not my time. I think that it was just like, this is my timeline. This is now that gets to be birthed into the world through the most through the most incredible channel. Like it just feels good. So,
and it's
yeah.
So good that you said that, because it's so easy to, like, I could sit there and be like, why didn't I publish this 20 years ago? But it wasn't ready then. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready. I wasn't in a moment I couldn't even have done it 20 years ago. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't even a possibility. It would have been much harder for me. So sometimes sometimes something, just like when you raise your children, guys, it takes us what, 18 years before they're grown and out of the house, sometimes longer. So it's okay. And don't ever beat yourself up about something you didn't do. It just wasn't time. I love that, Dee.
And I love this metaphor of pineapple. You know that a pineapple needs 18 months to actually fully, like, be, what do you say? Fully.
Like ripe?
Yeah.
I didn't even
18
know that.
Months. Even wow. More than babies. Like, babies take like 9 months in the belly. Pineapple is a, for me, it's a symbol of strength and something that is like you stand tall. And if that freaking thing needs 18 months, like, yeah, give it a time. Don't rush the process. You have to go through the whole experience, and it's like, it's okay.
And I actually, I never knew that about pineapple, but now I'm going to be like, every time I eat pineapple, I'm going to be like, wow, like, well, thank you. Like, that's serious.
But no, seriously, but I want to say, like, if you have an intuitive download right now, or you just feel like, hey, you know what, I want to really write a book, or I want to publish a book, I think, like, Carrie is she's the best person to handhold you and to really, like, help you through this process. And I want you to reach out to her. Check out when the playset comes out, because she was like showing the her book, but it's not visible on the audio. But you guys, check her out, connect with her. We're gonna put all the links in the show notes. But also, Carrie, tell us, like, what is the best possible way, if people are interested, I want to work with her, like, what is the best possible way to go around it?
You could always reach out to me at beextraordinarypublishing.com, or if you really want to contact me directly, go right into I Am Carrie Fisher in Instagram. It's F-I-S-H-E-R. And I actually manage that myself. And I actually look at my messages there and respond. And I love to do that. So reach out to me on Instagram.
So much fun. I have to ask you this question, because it's like, it's one of my favorite questions, and we got to ask all our fearless guests. If you would go back in time and just think about a moment where you felt shit scared, but you did it anyway. Now when you look back, it's like, this is one of the best moments. It's such a pivotal and monumental moment in my life.
I would say it was a moment that we shared together. So last summer, Deanna and I had the chance to MC one of the stages at Mind Valley University. Mind Valley is a community that we love and we're such a big part of. And they reached out to us and asked us to actually MC the stage for 3 weeks. And I was scared shitless. I don't know about you, Deanna. I was like, I can't do this. But it was Faraz, Ali, me, and Dee. And we all supported each other, and we were there for each other, and we took our first steps. And then by the end of it, we were just like rocking the stage. And like, I'm so happy I shared that with you, but I was terrified. I really was. So, you know, sometimes you have to be terrified and do it anyway.
Tell me, what were you scared? Like, what was the fear?
I think my fear was that I would just suck at it. And people are like, who the hell is this woman? Get her off the stage. Also, because, you know, you remember, we were introducing some serious, you know, big time, authors and speakers. So it was like, get her off. I want Marissa Peer. Get her off. I want Adam Roa. You know what I mean? So I was like, you know, get her off. Here's Emily Fletcher, you know? So right. That's what it was. You know what? It was like, I'm not enough. It was like, doesn't it always come back to that? I'm not enough to do this. Who am I to do this? Who do I think I am? But it was also having you and Faraz next to me as a support, but also the fact that Mind Valley believed in us. I think that really helped me a lot. I just kept remembering that. They believed in me. They believed in me. They could believe in me. I could believe in me. And sometimes you just need one person to believe in you. And that's why I love that community so much.
So good. Sometimes you need just one person to believe in you. That is so tweetable or Xable.
Xable.
Oh my God. I love this. I love, love, love this. Yeah. And it's really, it really is. It comes down to one person. I just love it. Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to share and I didn't ask you and I was like totally in my head and I was like, yeah, so me, but I'm giving you like 30 seconds or 1 minute. So yeah, I want to share this with your audience.
I do want to share something. It's like the motto of my life. You can become the very best version of yourself. You can live the life you dream of. First, you need to believe that. You need to conceive of the idea. And then you actually have to roll up your sleeves and get to work so that you could achieve it. And I think that that's the part people forget. It's not just visualizing, manifesting. There is some work involved, all right? So envision it and then take some action. I'm all about action. And so should you be.
I love this because I literally recorded the last podcast episode was about these steps and literally you just framed the whole process of manifestation. Yeah, you have to take action because a lot of people think just like I'm going to pray and I'm going to connect with God or universe or higher self, whatever. Yeah, you freaking have to take action. I think we talked about this and we are serious kick-ass action taker. So oh my God, I love this so much. I'm so really, really, truly grateful for have you, you know, always inspiring me, like truly, truly. Like every time I feel like what more can she bring into my life? It's like this, oh, it gets to be more juicy, it gets to be more joyful, it gets to be more inspiring every time we reconnect. And even if it's sometimes even if it's hard, it's the part of the process. And I feel
I feel honored that you even had me on. So thank you so much. It means so much to me, soul sister.
Amazing. You guys, you will find all the links in the show notes. Connect with Miss Carrie Fisher. She's a bomb. She's a powerhouse. You're going to love her feed. You're going to love everything that she does, everything that she is. And yeah, have fun and don't forget to be awesome. Chos. My fearless soul, thank you so much for tuning in and taking the time to listen to this episode. I appreciate you and I'm so excited to hear from you. If you haven't yet, please go to kite.link/insider and leave a review. Extra points if you screenshot this episode and post it on your IG stories and tag me at Diana Lugoli and tell me what's your big takeaway. With that being said, I'm sending you a daily dose of D. I love you and I'm so grateful for you. Till infinity. Mwah.